Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Mosaic of Love Radio Show, Episode 2, where everything love-related will be discussed and you have the opportunity to learn more about all the aspects of love. I am Laura Harju, a love coach and your guide on your journey towards your true love. You can find me at lovecoachlauraharju.coachesconsult.com. There you can download a free PDF of the three massive mistakes single women make that keep them meeting the wrong guys. In that report, I share my tips on how to find your true love. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/lovecoachlauraharju. I would love to hear from you. So if you are in US, so you can call into the show and participate by calling to 646-716-7979. And outside from US, please join the live chat through the Listen Now link that was posted on Facebook and other media. So today, I have the honor to have as my guest a soulful healer and a psychotherapist, Jessica Ehrenworth. She is the reason why I can today call myself as a radio host, because she introduced me to Michael Brooks, the founder of Coach on Fire Radio Work. So, hello, Jessica, and thank you so much for this opportunity that you provided to me.
Hi, Laura. Oh, My pleasure. It's always great to be able to introduce great people to great people. And I always love hearing you pronounce your last name. That will never get boring to me.
Well, you will be hearing it several times during the show, so enjoy.
Amazing.
So today, I was really intrigued when I was BY special guest on my show, and when you were saying that we would discuss about what does love really mean, because this is something that I really want to people to grasp, that love is such a general word, and we are using it so often without even realizing what we are meaning. So that's really something that I look forward to discussing further with you during this show.
Yeah, you know, and it's always been interesting to me, because as I focus on my own personal journey, one of the questions I really came up against, about a year ago, was this real need and want to be able to understand what exactly unconditional love was. Not just love, but unconditional love, because it's a term we hear so often, but there's not really any, there is some, but there's very few role models to look to be able to start understanding what unconditional love is and what that actually looks like, whether that's unconditional love towards yourself or unconditional love within relationships. And one of the things that really impacted my life and my journey was when a very, very soulful relationship ended for me. And at that point, I knew how much I loved this person, and I knew how much I was loved. It didn't end, you know, the reason the relationship ended was not, it didn't fit into the normal paradigms. It wasn't that not love each other. In some respects, it was that we loved each other so much that there were other things at play behind the scenes that both of us needed to do on our own and not together.
Mm.
And the hardest part about that was, okay, I'm hurting. I know you're really hurting. And how do you, for myself, how do I get through this and still love you in the most loving way that I can? And sometimes unconditional love looks very different than what we think it should be. Because at that point, the most loving thing both of us could do for one another was exit each other's lives completely. And never in my wildest dreams would I ever have thought that I would be called to do that.
Mm.
So it brought in new questions for me, and I started searching what is unconditional love? What does it mean? How do I get there? Because what I want and what the world is giving to me are two very different things. And in a lot of aspects, that journey did not feel like it had any semblance of love at that point. And it's taken a lot of work and a lot of understanding to understand it in a very different way and understand it from what I call a soulful perspective and not a physical world perspective.
Mm. Yes, exactly. And we are so often caught up with the physical world that we want something to be something that we assume that it should be. And when it becomes something else, so it's very hard for us to really those assumptions and expectations that we have about these things.
Yes. Especially because a lot of paradigms we live in our physical world don't actually make sense. I have a meme that goes on my Facebook, and it is, what happens if everything we've learned is backwards? Because a lot of the concepts that we walk life with, when you really sit down to deconstruct them, first of all, they don't make us feel very good. It brings in a lot of fear. You know, if we start looking at some of the constructs that we've been brought up with for love, we often talk about the one.
Mm.
I often have clients who come in reeling because they failed in their relationship. And when we start looking at things a bit differently and noticing that we are on a soulful journey and there is no one, different people come into our lives for different reasons, each person bringing a different message, each person bringing different learnings, and each person bringing different growth opportunities to each other. And when we start looking at relationships from that vantage point, things start shifting. Because in our world now, you know, we talk about the rise of relationship breakups, which isn't necessarily on the rise. It's been stable for many, many years, stable at, I believe it's 49% in North America. But the problem is less and less people are getting married, which is what they're basing the stat on. So the rise in relationship breakups in terms of the romantic sense is higher than that 49%.
Mm.
Because the marriage rate has gone down.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's basically the fact that the values that have been earlier important to the previous generations, they aren't that important to current generations. Like the thing that people aren't seeing the marriage as a way of establishing a relationship.
Right. And the reasons that people got married, you know, 30, 40 years ago are not necessarily as relevant today. In a lot of relationships, there's two people working to bring in enough money to live. That's not even a glamorous life anymore. It used to be a glamorous life, I think, but now people still struggle with the double income. And we are learning that each person within their own right is self-sufficient. When we go back to, you know, how we have been thinking about things, a lot of the time we take for granted that each person is self-sufficient. I don't need anyone else in my life. I am whole and happy alone. But it's funny when, you know, when Valentine's Day comes out and you look at all those Valentine's Day cards, will you be mine? Well, do you really want someone else to be yours? Or do you want them to be theirs for them so that they can be them, you can be you, and together you can create something magical?
Exactly. Yeah,
because if we give up all our power for another person, then you have two people coming from a disempowered state instead of an empowered one. And we get into all kinds of trouble that way. Relationships become more about unconscious manipulation than anything else. Well,
exactly.
I want you to do this for me.
Mm.
Well, no, I want you to do this. When you do this, I'll do that. You know, and we get into that bargaining power.
Yes. Yeah. And if you change, so then I will be happy.
Exactly. And I cannot tell you the number of times I hear that in any given day. Well, if they would just do this, if they would just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. And it's taken me, myself, a long time to really take a step back and go, wait a minute, happiness does not come from anywhere else. So if they were to do this or that, there would just be something else to pick on later on down the road. Because the problem is, not they're doing this or that. The problem is that you're not finding your own peace within yourself.
Exactly.
And when we really start digging down and learning to love ourselves, things start to shift. Because then it doesn't really matter. You can be exactly who you are. I can be exactly who I am. And we can have a mutual respect for each other. The way you do things might not be the way I want things done. But I will figure out what's best for me. You figure out what's best for you. And then we can come together in an empowered state.
Exactly. And that's so important that we come from a place where we are already whole, that we are not looking for this other person to fill any void. Because that's really, yes, as you said, it's not a good ground for a healthy relationship.
No, when you come to a relationship, quote unquote, broken, or two people come to a relationship from a broken place, then you're always backpedaling to fill that void, to fill that brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And what that often looks like is it really doesn't matter what your partner says at that point. Or, mm-hmm. you know, we can translate it to friendships. If you're coming from a broken place and your partner or your friend or a family member says, "You look really great today," or "I really love you." If you're not whole and believing that you are lovable or that you can look great, the first words mm-hmm. that pop into your mind are, "That's BS.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?" And then we circle
exactly.
into a neediness, right? So mm-hmm. we circle into this state of, "I don't believe when you tell me that you love me. So mm-hmm. please tell me more and more and more so that maybe one day I can start to believe it."
Exactly.
And that causes a lot of rifts within relationship.
Mm, of course.
Because what happens when your partner comes home and has had a bad day and can't tell you they love you because they're beside themselves?
Mm. So then you get offended.
And exactly.
You're not loving me enough or whatever. So.
Exactly. And we know how those evenings go.
Yes.
Not very well.
No, not very well.
And that's really where we want to be looking within and finding the love within ourselves so we can then radiate it outwards.
Yes.
So we can get rid of the fear, that fear of not being enough. That comes up in so many relationships. That fear of being left alone or being left. Another great fear in relationships. When we can start transcending those points, everything starts to shift. Because we know no matter what happens, we are okay because we are whole, healthy, and happy within ourselves.
Exactly. Yes, it's so important that we are giving ourselves the things that we need, that we are telling ourselves that you are lovable and you are beautiful, because we are the only person that we can rely on that is going to be there no matter what, no matter when we need to hear those things. So
exactly. I always say there's only one person you walk through life with. There's only one person who's with you 24/7 in your life, and that's you.
Exactly. So that's really the most important relationship that you should take care of, no matter the other people around there.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not, you'll see the cracks in every other relationship that exists in your life. And you'll often see recurring patterns. So it's very important to look at the recurring patterns that happen within relationships in your life. And then go within and ask yourself those tough questions. Okay, if this is about me, why does this keep on happening? Is there a part of me that I'm not taking care of, that I'm not loving? What part of me is actually hurting? And you know, there's so much talk these days about the illusion of pain and circumstances and all of that. And I think that's really an important topic to address because no, pain is not an illusion. It's very real, especially when you're feeling it. And it becomes very important to be able to sit with it and understand what it's trying to tell you in order to heal it. Instead of run from it and pretend it doesn't exist. Because when we pretend it doesn't exist, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. That's so true. I've just, not many days ago, I was, something happened and I just, someone was rude to me and I got so upset about that thing that I was like, okay, the accident or incident itself wasn't that big, nothing major, but my reaction was. So it was so important for me to go inwards and see, like, okay, how, why am I reacting this intensively about this thing? So that, like, what is this feeling really telling me? And so, yeah, it came out that I wasn't respecting my own needs. Like, I wasn't giving myself what I needed. And then when other people were rude to me, so it really, like, yeah, I know that I had been gathering that inside of me for at least several weeks. Then now it just went overboard or the cup was full. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so it's so important that you are listening to these feelings that you have inside of you, because they are important messages.
Yes, definitely. And what you're saying is so important, because depending on what emotional style people use, often, you know, with a more of a passive style, we will try to avoid whatever is going on. We don't want to offend anyone. We want to be okay. So we kind of sweep it under the rug. And what actually happens is every time you sweep it under the rug, you get a little adrenaline rush. Because when we experience most of our emotions, whether it's anxiety or anger or fear or even excitement, you know, stress and irritability also go in there, we get an adrenaline rush through our body. And when we're not dealing with it head on, and for most people, we don't even notice it. So when we're not noticing it, not dealing with it, and we get those little adrenaline rushes, there comes a point where our body is filled with adrenaline, and it feels like the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's usually the littlest thing in the worst timing. Usually it happens when you have no time to deal with it, and it comes out. And we sit there going, well, where did that come from? And really, the feeling has been building sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. But we've learned, and we learn in our world how not to feel, how not to pay attention. And again, when we talk about doing things backwards, the way we have fundamentally learned how to live life is actually backwards. When, you know, I love the example of, you know, when you go into a grocery store and you see a child having a meltdown, what's the first thing the parent says to them? Usually it's, don't cry. Don't cry. Be okay. Be quiet. You're embarrassing me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And from such a young age, we are taught to please be quiet. Keep a smile on your face. Numb yourself out. Or don't pay attention to the emotions that are surfacing.
Exactly.
So we come by it very, very naturally because we've kind of been trained that way.
Yeah.
So then we stop feeling all the emotions that course through our body.
And
so
that's
we don't
healthy.
Actually, no, and we don't actually recognize that we are feeling until we are in the middle of a crisis or blowing up or, you know, yelling, screaming, crying, those things that really say to us, you need to stop, you need to slow down because something's not quite right. You haven't been listening to me when I try to warn you in little doses. So now you're getting the big dose.
Exactly. So it comes with the full fart through those barriers that we have been building to hold it down.
Mm-hmm. And the more you start learning what those signs are and paying attention to them and feeling them, the more you actually see that so much more is going on than you ever thought. And you feel so much more than you ever thought you could.
Yeah.
But it becomes less overwhelming because you're getting it in small doses because you're actually listening to the wisdom that comes from each emotion that enters your body and your mind.
Yes, exactly. I want to say here in between that when you are resonating what Jessica is sharing with us today, so you can find her on her website, brainhealthyclinic.com, and she is offering a free chapter of her book, The Assertiveness Solution, Step Into Your Power and Stay There, and you can find it on her website, brainhealthyclinic.com/free-chapter. And yeah, for everybody else, if you want to call in and participate, ask some questions, so call in by in number 646-716-7979, and outside of the US, so you can join in the live chat and ask your questions there. So, Jessica, we started from the unconditional love, and now we have been talking about everything else, of course, related, but how to activate the unconditional love?
Good question, because it does often feel like an activation. You know, when we are stepping into the power of loving unconditionally, without sounding too woo-woo, we are actually raising our vibration because we have to think in a totally different way.
Mm.
So, you know, we often think that love, unconditional love, is about the other person. But it's not. It's about us. Because unless you're loving yourself unconditionally, you can't love anyone else unconditionally. Mm. If you're not loving yourself unconditionally, then everything anyone else does becomes about you. And that serves no one well.
Exactly.
So when we start talking about loving yourself unconditionally, there are many very simple exercises you can start doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is really looking in the mirror and telling yourself how much you love yourself. I love you.
Yeah.
What happens is when you start telling yourself you love you or I love you, it might not feel real. A lot of people say, well, you know, it I feel that it's not working, it's not this, it's not that. Because at that point, first of all, we're still at the point where we're judging ourselves and therefore judging other people. And we usually stand in front of the mirror and say, I love you. And then go, this is feeling weird and stupid. And this isn't going to do anything for me. The more you start loving yourself, and I often term, you know what, when I first started on this journey, I would say everyone talks about self-love, but very few people can actually tell you or me, because I was really asking a lot of questions, as I always do, what does that mean? And my clients would ask, what does that mean and how do you get there? And I'd say, well, you tell yourself you love yourself and you do nice things for yourself and take care of yourself and, you know, all this great stuff. And it hit me one day. And I shifted the term loving yourself to abandoning yourself. And then I started asking myself, am I abandoning myself in this moment or not? And actually on my website, I have a blog post called Abandoning. I think it's called Abandoning Yourself. and I write all about this. And in that post, what I really say is, you know, this journey is about you and no one else. And you get to decide how far down you go. So normally we get to that spot of needing to love ourselves because everything around us is crumbling. Because we are feeling so bad because we can't keep relationships together because relationships are not empowering us, they're disempowering us. And that is the point where we start searching for what does unconditional love mean and what does it mean to love myself unconditionally. Standing in front of the mirror and telling yourself you love yourself every day becomes very, very important. Another exercise that I absolutely love and has really helped me through my journey is called the Mosaic of Love. Like your show.
Wow, what a coincidence.
I know. And the way I look at it is that if you picture your body like mosaic tiles, you have all these little pieces. Every part of your body is a different little mosaic tile piece. And all those pieces need to be integrated. And a lot of those pieces contain hurt. So when we start delving deep into that hurt process, we want to locate the hurt. And I'll give you an example about how this really works. You know, my son called to me one night, and all of a sudden I hear, Mommy, I want water, which doesn't sound so bad. But when you've been trying to put three kids to bed for 3 hours and you've already gotten 4 glasses of water, my first instinct, I felt my whole body tensing up. I felt the anger coursing through me. And by that point, I had been using a lot of these exercises and many more, and really delving into my own big hurts. And what I was able to do was pause the emotion. And granted, my whole life has been working and helping people through difficult emotions. So I had spent years and years teaching people how to slow down their emotional process so you can actually think through it. So in this one incident, I paused my emotions. I got him some water in a very loving and kind way, I might add. And I came back to my own room and I sat down with it. And I said, okay, why am I getting so upset? He's only asking me for water. And then I started looking at and going, okay, so what is he really asking me to do? Because he could get out of bed and get himself water. So what he's really asking me to do, if we drill down on it, is, Mommy, please take care of me. And within the anger that was rising up within me, I threw my hands up in the air and I said, well, who's going to take care of me? I can take care of everyone else, but who's taking care of me? And then what I did is I had to locate that piece on the mosaic tile of my body. Where does that live in my body? Where do I feel that? And it might be one place. It might be multiple places. And I went into that mosaic tile. And I said, you know what? I'm here to take care of you. I'm here to love you. Even though I may not have been able to do it before, I am here to do it now. And I may not be perfect at it because I don't know if I actually know how to love you in the way you need to be loved. So we are going to work on this together. And I had an inner dialogue with myself. And every time something would come up, and eventually what would start happening, those mosaic tile pieces started becoming integrated within me. The hurts started becoming less and less. The love started becoming more and more. My mind started to quieten. Now that I've done a lot of meditation work as well. And life started to shift and change.
That's so powerful that all the things that you do notice when you start shifting your focus towards loving your and not abandoning yourself. Jessica, your website brainhealthyclinic.com and there's the free chapter for your book. So would you tell more about that?
So my book is The Assertiveness Solution, Step Into Your Power and Stay There. And over the years in practice, I've done many workshops on assertiveness and anger and self-esteem and all of that. And within the process of learning to love yourself, what you also find is that it's important to know what communication style, what emotional style you use. So in the book, I really go into detail in terms of the four emotional styles. I go over, now there's more than four emotional styles, but in the book I go over passiveness, passive communication, passive emotions, passive aggressiveness, assertiveness, and aggressiveness, because it all forms on a continuum. So when we understand where we fall on the continuum, then we can start shifting our communication, and we want to be communicating on an assertive plane. What we mean when we say assertiveness is that it's a healthy communication style. It is a respectful communication style where both people, no matter what's going on, can speak their truth, be heard, and feel safe within that. So within the book, I go over setting boundaries and having safe boundaries. You know, saying no. When is that appropriate? And why people hesitate to do that? There's so much information packed in that book because I usually give lots of information.
Yeah, I'm guilty to that as well.
But in order to have any successful relationship with yourself, with other people in the world, whether you're using it for romantic relationships, friendships, family, or even business, I have examples for all of those areas of life in the book. It's very easy to read, very user-friendly, and learning how to have respectful communication. And when I say respectful communication, I don't mean that everyone has to agree with one another. That's actually not respectful communication. If you're agreeing with someone and you don't really agree with them, that's passive communication.
Yeah.
So it's being able to agree to disagree when you need to, and creating safe boundaries and a safe haven for everyone to express in ways that are healthy and comfortable for them.
Yeah. I'm feeling very intrigued, so I am going to go to brainhealthyclinic.com/free-chapter and download it to see what juicy information you are sharing with us in that free chapter. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And otherwise, for me, you can find me at lovecoachlaurahaju.coachesconsult.com, where I also share something very beneficial for every single woman who is listening to this show. And I'm also in Facebook at facebook.com/lovecoachlaurahaju, so you can connect with me there as well. Jessica,
nice.
Thank you. So you mentioned that we are moving to a new relationship dimension. So what does that mean for us?
So within the new relation, there's lots of different energetic shifts going on in our world these days, and that new relationship dimension is really the shift from relationships being more self-centered, more I have to give up myself in order to love you, in order to show you, I need to show you that I love you by doing certain things, and whether that's beneficial for me or not, I'm going to sacrifice. That's really the relationship dimension we've been in right now. When we look at a lot of different relationship patterns, whether it's conscious or unconscious, sometimes it is conscious, sometimes it's unconscious and comes from, childhood patterns or patterns we've seen in different relationships. There's a lot of manipulation in order to get what we want. That saying, well, if you don't do that, that means you don't love me. And really what we're establishing in this new paradigm, in this new dimension, is a lot more of the unconditional love, which is the more I love myself, the more I can love the world around me. I can actually be grateful for the things that are surfacing. It's not self-centered. it's not based on what you do affects me. It is, I am my own whole person. You are your own whole person. And let's see what magic we can make from two whole people. It's not clingy. A lot of the time when we think of relationships, we think of clinginess or longing. You know, a lot, you watch the Disney movies, and or the, you know, the great romance movies, which I am a sucker for, and you get that longing feeling. Oh, well, love is longing. Love is needing. Love is, you know, we have all these adjectives that we use to describe it. And we're moving into that place of our birthright is to find happiness and peace and wholeness within ourselves. We are actually already whole. So instead of searching for that wholeness, we are coming to that paradigm of realizing how whole we truly are and how whole the people who surround us are. And that, in essence, shifts everything in a relationship, because then there's nothing left to fix. You're not looking to fix the other person. You're not looking to fix yourself. You're looking and you're able to step into who you are in that empowered way. And as we start using some of the exercises that I've spoken about on this call, our vibration starts raising. The frequency we put out into this world starts shifting and changing. And if that sounds, you know, too out there for some people, if you think about it and you walk into a coffee shop, there's usually at some point someone who walks in and everyone's head turns. And it's not that they are, you know, the most beautiful or the most this, or they're not doing anything to make heads turn. But they are so confident within themselves, so happy within themselves, that their frequency is higher, and walking down the street, everyone's head turns because you can feel that.
Exactly.
Whereas when the person who walks into the coffee shop who is depressed, you notice that. You can see it in their posture, in their body, in the energy they carry. That comes with a different vibration, a different frequency. And the vibration and frequencies of this world are ascending. They are shifting and changing and getting higher and higher. So it happens, you know, in some ways it happens in its own natural pace, but we can also work with it by looking at the world in different ways. You know, by really going into those belief systems, which ones are working for you and which ones aren't working for you?
Yeah.
And for me, when this journey started for me, it became extremely difficult because I had to go into each and every belief system and bend them around in my body, in my mind, in my soul, and figure out which ones were working and which ones weren't.
And it's not always easy to question those things that we take as granted, or something that, well, this has to be true because everybody around me is telling me that this is the way the world turns. So, yeah. It's not always easy.
And usually what I found is that if everyone's telling you this is the way the world works, that's usually the most backward belief.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's funny because as you start sorting through it and shifting through it, and I just totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Something about changing our beliefs about how we want to see the world or what we want to be through for us.
Yeah. You know, as you start sifting through it, you kind of you're sick of being felt like you're held down. And you will feel within you the things that make sense, because those belief systems, whether the rest of the world believes it or not, and I always say it doesn't matter what the rest of the world believes, it matters how it feels to you. You create that reality for yourself. So, you know, if the rest of the world believes that there is one soulmate for every person, and there is, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Right, and that causes you anguish and fear because, you know, how am I going to find that one person in all these people? Or maybe that has left me. Maybe I screwed up those opportunities. maybe. These are all the things people question and say. If that causes you anguish, then it's not a belief system that's working for you.
Exactly.
So find the one that works for you. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. If it causes you to feel peaceful and happy, bingo, you've got the right one.
Yes.
And you have to use your own intuition to find what's right for you, because we are all at different places and stages of growth and learning. So not everything that fits for you is going to fit for other people, and not everything that fits for other people is going to fit for you, depending on where you're at. Some of the things that I've learned, if you had told me, you know, even 5 years ago that I would be in this place doing some of the things I'm doing and believing, you know, shifting my own belief system, I would have told you, you would be absolutely nuts. And that's okay, because that's where it was at that point. We can only move ourselves so fast. So within all this, be patient with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Learning
and it takes
to love
courage.
Yourself.
It takes courage.
It takes so much courage, yes. The question I get so often, and I would ask myself the same question. You know, the other week, I can't tell you how many phone calls came in, phone calls, emails, questions, which was, am I crazy? Am I nuts? Sometimes you can feel a bit loopy. You're like, what's going on? The world is shifting in ways that I never thought possible. And the answer is no, you're not crazy. You're not loopy. But yes, you have to have the courage, because very often it's not the easiest walk. You come face to face with aspects of yourself you never knew existed, and you purge many aspects of yourself that you never knew existed. But on the other side, it becomes more and more beautiful, because the fears start releasing. That negative talk, that negative voice, what we call the ego, who wants, really the ego's job is to keep you at bay in the thoughts that you're used to, So often that negative voice becomes stronger and stronger when you're shifting. Mm-hmm. And that becomes very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And makes us doubt so much of what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep working at it bit by bit, which is why you can't rush things either, on the other side, you start getting clear understanding of what your life is about.
Exactly.
Of what your emotions are really trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. You become happier, more peaceful. The fear starts releasing. Anxiety starts releasing. Anger starts releasing. Mm-hmm. And you're playing on a totally different playing field.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's something that I really want everybody to experience, this thing that you can really change whatever your current situation is. So you have always the choice to start reacting on things differently or act differently, think differently. In that process start to feel differently, and you can really mm-hmm. become happier person and see the world change around you.
Yes. I always laugh because when everything shifted for me, it shifted in a very big way. And not everyone has shifts this big. So I'm just warning people, you don't have to go through what I went through to actually go through this process and make it to the other side. But, I have to laugh because I tell the story that my marriage, which was an 18-year partnership, and my business partnership, two different partnerships of 11 years, both ended on the same day.
So yeah, that's amazing.
Everything about my life shifted in one fell swoop.
Was it
easy? No. Was it scary? Oh, yeah.
Can only imagine. So, yes. Good. So, first of all, thank you, Jessica, so much for coming as a guest. And this was so lovely to discuss
with you,
Laura, about this. Yeah. So for the listeners, you can find Jessica on her website, brainhealthyclinic.com, and go and download the free chapter of her new book, The Assertiveness Solution, Step Into Your Power and Stay There. And for me, you can find me on lovecoachlauraharju.coachesconsult.com, where there is a free PDF for you to download where I share my tips on how to find your true love. And you can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/lovecoachlauraharju. So thank you, Jessica, again for this interview. It was such a pleasure. And for the listeners, we'll meet again in 2 weeks with another exceptional guest on the show. And nothing more. Have a lovely day.
Thank you, Lauren. Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much, Jessica. See you around.
Sounds good. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.